Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, before we get back to the issue of the day, we're talking about what is truth, or if you please, a subtitle would be Truth on Trial. Before we get back to the essence of that issue today, let me extend to you a personal invitation to join us this Sunday at First Conservative Baptist Church, Sunday the 15th of May. Our services will start at 10 o'clock sharp on the 15th. Normally, our services, by the way, are 10:45, but they start at 10 o'clock this coming Sunday morning, May 15th. We'll have the Mark V Quartet singing in concert before I have the privilege of bringing the morning message. Want to invite you. Let me just give you a little sample of what you will hear as far as the music is concerned in the quartet singing on that Sunday morning. Listen very carefully. It's good gospel music.
While traveling through this world of sorrow, I'm on my way to glory land. I'll not turn back for some tomorrow. My trials here I'll understand.
Gentlemen, it's the music that will be a blessing to the heart and life of each individual. You're openly welcome to worship with us this Sunday morning. Love to have you. It's an invitation to you come. Our church is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road. That's First Conservative Baptist Church, exactly 1 mile south of I-295 at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road. Looking forward to having you join us for the Mark V Quartet in concert this Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Ladies and gentlemen, as we continue our thought on the subject of truth on trial, we're finding a reversal of what would normally be called truth. Ladies and gentlemen, it goes back to 2,000 years ago when Jesus, the truth, was crucified because of being truth. He was faulted for all that was done wrong. He was accused and crucified. And we're finding today, ladies and gentlemen, a replay or an intensification of that being replayed in society today. If you say that the election was fraudulent, then you're a disinformer, and that disinformation board is going to try to do something to prosecute and persecute those that are doing so. If you say, ladies and gentlemen, that COVID-19 virus was developed under the authority of Dr. Anthony Fauci, it was part of the gain-of-function research out of the Wuhan, China lab, paid for by U.S. tax dollars, and was planned as far back as 2014 to be released. Ladies and gentlemen, if you will make that as a statement, then it's disinformation and it is considered a lie. And ladies and gentlemen, across the past 2 or 3 years, 2 years in particular now, all of the big tech systems, Twitter, Facebook, et cetera, they've considered that to be disinformation. It has been used by the Biden administration. These organizations, big tech and the social media, has been used by the Biden administration to squelch anything that's called truth about the election, anything that's called truth about the fraudulent COVID pathogen and then the COVID jab. Ladies and gentlemen, it's called disinformation. And ladies and gentlemen, if there's a fact that the vaccination is killing people today and causing people, about a half million people, according to Matt Staver, Liberty Counsel. This was his numbers back in February. About a half million people in America have already been killed by the COVID vaccination. About 1.5 million people have been permanently injured that will put them in a position the rest of their lives to depend on some chemical prescription from a physician and the pharmaceuticals. If you say that, ladies and gentlemen, then you are a disinformer. And as a result of that, you've been kicked off Facebook. You've been kicked off Twitter. You've been kicked off Instagram. You've been considered a disinformational person, disinformer, and therefore they're calling it a lie. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article that says, does the COVID jab kill more people than it saves lives? Have you noticed that this article is dated May the 3rd, 2022? Have you noticed that the jabbed and boosted are testing positive for COVID more than often than the unvaccinated? Is it pure coincidence, or could there be a connection between the number of shots you receive and your risk of coming down with COVID? Here's what the latest data reveals. According to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention data, more than 1 million excess deaths, that is deaths in excess of the historical average, have been recorded since COVID-19 pandemic began 2 years ago. And this cannot be explained by COVID-19 deaths from heart disease, high blood pressure, dementia, and many other illnesses arising out of the COVID vaccination. Across the world, death rates have also risen in tandem with COVID-19 shots administration, with the most jabbed areas surpassing the least jabbed areas in terms of excess mortality and COVID-related deaths. Further, the article states, other data also showed that COVID mortality rates are far higher in areas with high vaccination rates, and risk-benefit analysis revealed the jabs do more harm than good in most every age group. According to the U.S. Centers for Disease and Control Prevention, more than 1 million excess deaths, that is deaths in excess of the historical average, have been recorded since the COVID-19 pandemic began 2 years ago. This cannot be explained by COVID itself. Deaths from heart disease, high blood pressure, dementia, many other illnesses have arisen where we've never seen anything like it. Robert Anderson, CDC's head of mortality statistics, told the Washington Post in mid-February of 2022. According to the University of Warwick researchers, the scale of excess non-COVID deaths is large enough for it to seem like its own pandemic, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, if you say that on any of the big tech media, the social platforms, then you're considered a disinformer. It's considered disinformation. It's considered a lie. And as a result of that, the government now has set up a board, a truth ministry, a disinformation board that will come after you, that will persecute you, that will prosecute you, and call you a domestic terrorist. That's exactly where we are in America today. This is exactly the reason I'm talking about truth on trial. That's where we stand. It's truth on trial. I believe we have Pastor Davis on the line. Pastor, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood. How are you today?
I'm doing well. I pray that you are.
Yes, sir. I am very blessed today, and I will tell you, I would like to encourage the body of Christ on today, the saints, all of the true believers on today, Dr. Youngblood, is that we're on the winning side anyway. I don't care what they try to do against the truth. We have to know and understand that the truth emanates from the Spirit of God, because he is called the Spirit of Truth. When we look in the book of John, chapter 14, verses, I believe that's 15 through 17, all we have to do is just obey what the scripture tells us, because God tells us to love him and keep his commandments. This is what Jesus specifically said in those verses of scripture. And when he got down to verse number 16, he said, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." So we have the Spirit of Truth down on the inside. And of course, God is going to fight our battle against all sin and evil and falsehood. But we have to love him and keep his commandments. And each and every time, we are guaranteed the victory. So I thank and praise God for that on today. I don't care how much they fight against the truth is always going to prevail.
Amen. Amen. In fact, the church, which is the bastion of truth, according to the Lord Jesus, says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We're going to face some horrible persecution. But, Pastor, I believe what you're saying, and I'm in agreement. We win in the end. we win. We're victorious in the end. Pastor, you're exactly right. Thank you so much for your input and for your comments today. Have a blessed day. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go over the question and comments, please.
Yes. How you doing, Dr. Hamburg?
I'm doing great. I pray that you are.
Hey, I'm blessed. I'm blessed.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, I might be on Social Security, but I'm definitely going to start supporting you.
Amen. Definitely. Well, I am thankful for that, and we're blessed by it.
I just wanted to make a comment about Nancy Pelosi, Hillary Clinton, and the Black Lives Matter, and Antifa, and why the court is not going after them. They defund the police and all the Democratic states, and the crime is going up so quick. If Black Lives Matter, why don't you put money in there instead of buying mansions?
Yes.
Can you say it like that?
Brother, I'm in total agreement with you, Kenneth. You're spot on what you're saying. We're watching Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, AOC, the entire House of Representatives that are made primarily of Democrats today, the Hillary Clinton mindset that permeates our society today that says truth is irrelevant, truth is a falsehood, and therefore that which is untrue, that which is a demonic lie, is being promulgated and pushed today. And we as Christians, we as conservatives, we as patriots, people like yourself, myself, and others that's listening today, we need to recognize that this is a lie. It's a demonic lie. And as a result of that, we need to understand it is we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places, according to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. But the Apostle Paul said, put on the whole armor of God and then stand. And that means simply we need to be armored up as Christians, ready for the battle, and enter into the battle. We need not to run. We need not to sway. We need not sit. We need to stand. Having done all, stand. And so that's my challenge today to every Christian, is we need to stand against the lie. But going back to the reason, the rationale behind what Hillary Clinton's doing, Joe Biden and others, is they want to undermine and destroy the fundamental foundation called the United States of America. And Psalms 11:3 says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? These people hate God, they hate the church, they hate anything that's called truth. As a result of that, they're out to tear down and destroy, and as Joe Biden calls it, build back better, which is a mantra coming straight out of Karl Marx and Marxism. He wants to tear down the Constitutional Republic, destroy our Bill of Rights, our freedom of speech, our freedom of religion, and build back a socialist, Marxist, communist nation, and it's on the fast track for that, lest we as Christians stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen before it's eternally too late. Kenneth,
okay, can I say one more thing?
Yes, sir, go ahead. Yes, sir.
I'm going to tell you, he's a puppet, and I think Obama and Clinton are keeping him like that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Joe Biden hadn't got an original thought in his head. He couldn't put two thoughts together for his, if he wanted to do so. It is behind the, he is the puppet. Hillary Clinton, Barack Hussein Obama, George Soros, they're the puppeteers. Joe Biden has to have a pocket palm card to have the answers. I believe most of the time he's got an earpiece in where somebody off the scene, off the stage, is giving him the answers. When he stumbles through, even on one occasion reading his teleprompter, it said, and that's all. And he finished reading the teleprompter, and he said, and that's all. That's the end. It's like reading a book, and at the end it said, da-da-da-da, the end. And that's what he was doing because he doesn't know any better. I believe he his handlers need to be charged with senior abuse because they're abusing him because he is cognitively depleted, incapable of being the president of the United States of America. And we, the people, are suffering presently as a result of it. So, Kenneth, the only thing that you can do and I can do other than warning the being the watchman on the wall and warning others is to keep praying and asking God to intervene and to deliver us as a nation before it's eternally too late. Kenneth, brother, thank you so much for your call, for your insight, and for your input. You're spot on with your statements today. Thank you so much for your call. I believe we have Kevin on the line. Kevin, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. Who is that man that lived up in North Florida here, Robert Hill, that assassinated the doctors that were doing abortion? Was that his name, Robert Hill?
I honestly don't recall, but I understand. I recall the scenario, but can't recall the name.
Right, but Exodus, Leviticus 20, chapter 1 through 5, I believe it is, says that, you know, we're not to turn our eyes away from these women, these people, doctors that do abortion. Actually, in the Old Testament, it says to kill them, to kill them. And that's how God looks at this. Now, if Christians were to take the Word of God seriously, and we're not under the law, we're under grace, but these people are under God's law. And as an abortionist, they're supposed to be slaughtered in God's eyes. And that's what Robert Hill did. He killed them off. He blew their head off with a shotgun. That's what we're supposed to do to these people.
Well, I cannot advocate that at all. God is the ultimate adjudicator of right and wrong, and I don't believe two wrongs will make a right. Don't believe it's right for us to go out and shoot somebody as a result of taking a stand that's illegitimate, something that is unconstitutional,
something that is illegitimate
biblically, and taking a hand to do that. God ultimately judge. Keep in mind, Ananias and Sapphira were walked in. They told a lie. God, the Holy Spirit, adjudicated judgment and slew them immediately. You have Ahab and Jezebel that had Naboth put to death, and as a result of having him put to death, it took 20 years for God's judgment to take place, but it ultimately took place. What we need to do as Christians is stand up, speak up, be the watchman on the wall. Ezekiel 33, 1 through 10 is very, very clear. Our responsibility doesn't go any further than warning, danger ahead, preaching and teaching the truth of the Word of God, and allowing God to be the adjudicator of that which is wrong. God's going to ultimately have his way with Joe Biden, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, George Soros, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But we need to be warned about the dangers so we can stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, not sit in silence, not bow and not bend and not run, but having done all, as the Apostle Paul said, to stand. Thank you so much for your call, Kevin. I believe we have Greg on the line. Greg, give you the question or comment, please.
I'm watching the economic chaos and the economic collapse. Obviously, Biden spent some time yesterday trying to blame everyone other than himself and his policies. As a matter of fact, he bragged a little bit that he had reduced the deficit by some huge number, $300 billion. Well, he compares the deficit from 2020 when we went into economic shutdown over COVID. He compares the deficit of 2020 when they went on a spending spree and dove into the treasury and dove into your grandkids' earnings decades into the future, and they decided to spend $3.2 trillion. You know, got to allocate funds to rebuild the PPE or whatever the protective gear that was wiped out under the Obama-Biden years, never replenished. All of a sudden, we had to step in and replenish all that and spend money that was unnecessary to be spent in many cases and shut down businesses, shut down tax revenue. Well, he's trimmed $300 billion off of that, and still the debt is 2.5 times, the deficit is 2.5 times the amount that it was in 2019. So don't believe the lie, folks. But looking at the economic chaos, the collapse that we're in the middle of right now, it is not a side effect. It is not a side effect of Biden policies, Democrat policies. It is the objective. Because
yes,
in the midst of collapse and chaos, they can grow government. People will cry out for help, and they'll want help from the government that created the chaos, that created the collapse. Do you understand what's going on, folks? They're
Absolutely.
Creating the circumstances, the situation under which people will beg for help. You'll need help. I mean, you're thankful for the breadlines when you can't put food on the table, but they create the circumstances under which you will need the breadlines. We're about to see potentially famine around the world. When I say famine, food shortages around the world. This is not a side effect. This is the plan. because you will beg for government's help.
Absolutely.
This is the plan.
And Greg, one of the things, and you and I have talked about it privately many, many, many times. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is one of our four sons, Greg Youngblood, lives up in the northeast point of Tennessee. He calls it the southern tip of heaven. And I'm thankful for you taking time to call today and join in the dialogue and discussion. Greg, while all of this is taking place, you know, it's like a magician with the right hand. Don't pay attention to my left hand. Just watch my right hand, what I'm doing. While the chaos and the confusion is taking place about immigration, while the chaos and confusion is taking place about the disinformation board, while the chaos and confusion is taking place about the gas prices and grocery prices and the food shortages, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, behind the scenes, there's an undermining and a determination to destroy the religious liberties and the freedom of speech. I'm looking at an article, Greg. Want your take on it. Mark Zuckerberg is positioning Facebook to take over online services, worship services, and his first line of attack is partnership with the Laodicean Hillsong. Further, the article states Mark Zuckerberg believes the coronavirus pandemic has created a new opportunity for Facebook to grow. His plan involves incentivizing churchgoers who have become familiar with virtual services over the past year due to the lockdowns to permanently move their religious worship services online. And this writer goes on to say, just a short while ago, Facebook removed my post because it went against their community standards and was something that could potentially cause harm to certain groups of people. What was in the post that was so egregious and offensive to Facebook censors? It was Proverbs 20:10, chapter 20, verse 1, warning against the corrupting influence of alcohol. Now, Facebook wants to control Christian worship services, and to that end, they have found the perfect first willing victim, Laodicean Hillsong Church. Charles Spurgeon once prophetically remarked that a time will come when instead of shepherds feeding the sheep, the church will have clowns entertaining the goats, end quote. And Greg, literally what this large article says is that Facebook is negotiating now with mega major, I call them the pop-up churches across America, negotiating with them to try to incentivize all churches to cease and desist having live worship, just to have it all online, electronic online worship. Now, where will that go if that takes place? Do you think it's going to gain traction? Is this something that you think churches will fall into the trap of? What is your thoughts? What is your take on this statement in this article?
As we introduce, of course, we've given great power over to your Facebooks and Twitters and other social media outlets, used them. The left has used them as a conduit for their censorship regime. And as censorship steps into the spiritual, into the religious, into the Christian arena, think about this. Any verse in the scripture that calls sin, sin may be considered hate speech to them. Mm-hmm. A few years back, I was in the Keys, and I happened to visit a Methodist church there and enjoyed the service. The pastor read five verses, skipped five verses, and read five more verses, and he wrapped up with the "Come unto me, ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Sounds like a good sermon if you're in the Keys. It's a vacation text, right? But the five verses he skipped included the call to repentance, the judgment verses he left out. Now, he did that of his own free will in planning that service. You know, he didn't want to have the woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done of thee have been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. That doesn't sound like something. So he chose of his own free will to censor his sermon, to censor the text. What happens when Facebook says, yep, you know what, you can't call a person to repentance, you can't speak about sin because that's hate speech, that's a microaggression, you know, that's the direction we're headed in. Of course, that's why the believer is told in Hebrews, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the heathen do.
Amen.
Understand, when there's devastation, when there's chaos, you're going to need that fellowship of believers. You're going to need the brother or sister in Christ you can call upon. You're going to need the pastor you can call upon. And if you phone it in, folks, good luck. Good luck. If you think you can send your tithe, your offering to that televangelist on TV and he's going to answer your call when a family member's knocking at death's door, it's not going to happen. You're going to need the fellowship of believers. Do not forsake it. Don't turn your back on it.
Absolutely. And the other thing that's taking place, Greg, while they're having the show with the right hand and saying, don't pay attention to the left hand, now we're watching the churches becoming, how would you say, prey to the big tech platforms. It's going to ultimately wipe out the church services if that happens. Also, during the course of all of this is taking place, and everybody's concerned about food, clothing, and shelter. They're concerned about the gasoline prices. They're concerned about having to decide between buying gasoline to go to work or to buy groceries to put on the table. And now families trying to find baby formula because it's hard to find, and for some reason it's all of a sudden off the shelves. But while all of this is taking place, Greg, here's another event that's happening. This article says, who's afraid of the big bad freedom? Dated May 10th. Wait, the World Health Organization grabbing power? Yes, they are. Flush off their unprecedented interference during the COVID pandemic. The World Health Organization is acting to ensure that they have even more power next time around. The Biden administration is now helping fast-track this. The Biden administration is reportedly spearheading amendments to the international health regulations that would drastically increase the powers of the executives of the World Health Organization, warned Michael and Alexander of the World Council of Health. Under these new amendments, the director general would have the right, in conjunction with its internal staff, to unilaterally declare a public health emergency in any member state, including the United States, without the United States' consent at all, end quote. Greg, we've got about a minute left on the broadcast. Respond to that and then wrap us up with a challenge to our listeners today.
Well, it's interesting. I'm reviewing this now with the World Health Organization and this subsidiary component that is an international health regime. And if we entered the World Health Organization under a treaty, then we may be in jeopardy, because the Constitution in Article 6, Clause 2, says that the Constitution and federal laws made pursuant to it and treaties made under its authority constitute the supreme law of the land. So they may very well use Article 6, Clause 2 to rope us into an international mandate. And I believe that's exactly what they intend to do. And it literally fits within eschatological prophecy within the scripture with the control, the power that the Antichrist will have. Right now, the World Health Organization has, I believe, 196 signatories. That means there are only a couple of countries that are not on board. So we may
Greg,
be
we got about along that we got way. About 25 seconds. Wrap us up. Give our listeners a challenge based on what we're hearing today.
Well, for every believer out there, don't be woe is me. Consider Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Share these with brothers and sisters in Christ, but a lost and doomed world. Share with them those good things today from the Scripture.
Amen. Greg, thank you for joining us. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
CBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 10 for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.